Hi, everyone. Welcome to Resonance, a Podfic podcast. I'm Revolutionary Joe.
And I'm Lunchy.
And we have decided that this podcast needs to exist. I will tell you a bit about that. Yay! This is our first episode. We don't know exactly how regular this will be as of yet.
Because we're terrible. Well, I'm terrible, but Joe's pretty good.
I'm just busy. But all the same, a while back during Amplerecathon this year, Lunchy made this amazing rec post that had all this clips of audio in it and really cool information. And I was listening to it and
that
just thinking,
information? Sorry.
It was feelings. It was a lot of feelings and it gave me a lot of feelings.
Oh, good. And I can cover feelings. That can be me. I can do that.
You are officially in charge of feelings.
Yay!
On this podcast. I decided foolishly during the middle of this that of listening to it, that it would be great if I could have this all the time. And so I sent an email to Lunchy and I said, it would be great if we had this all the time, fully intending to convince her to do it all
Excuse
the time.
You.
And sometime. Somehow we're here now.
Really? That was your master plan?
That was my master plan. It did not turn out particularly well. This is the problem with most of my master plans. I propose them and then I end up doing them myself.
Well, you know, I'm here for moral support.
You are contributing plenty. But anyway, this is probably not at all interesting to anyone actually listening to this.
Backstory, right, you need it. Mm-hmm. It just makes more sense. Who cares? You're here, you're listening. So it's too late for you now.
Yep.
Now you have to listen to us. Having said that, about 50% of people have just turned this off.
Probably. So other things we want to talk about during this podcast, it'll be mostly Rex. What we're kind of going to do is try to structure it around reviewing recently posted podfic, new podfickers. That will be the bulk of it. But naturally, stemming from that, it's also going to involve lots of meta conversations and about the process of creating podfic and
lots about that, because we can do that.
Yes, because it will just happen. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
Questions? Comments? You can't, because you're just listening to this. And not a call-in
show. We haven't set up anything that even if you did have questions or comments, you could send somewhere. Because we're really good like that.
In the meantime, you can probably just leave a comment wherever we posted this when all is said and done. So without further ado, we should start with our first podfic.
Which is?
Angels of the Silences by Clugal. Read by a distant sun.
Harry Potter established Remus and Sirius exploring how they don't need words in bed.
This is new territory for me because I don't really know that much about Harry Potter because I stopped reading the books and I've never seen, I saw the second movie and it was the worst $10 I ever spent back when movies were still 10 bucks. So it was not good. I thought I had read to the end of the Goblet of Fire or something, but then people were like, it wasn't it so sad that so-and-so died, and I'm like, what, that happened? So I clearly didn't make it through, and I don't really have a huge emotional resonance with either Remus or Sirius, which is a problem, I think. But I listened to this podfic anyway. That's where
I on the other hand, Remus Sirius is the OTP of my heart and has been for a very long time. I really could care less, for the most part, about anybody else in the Harry Potter series at all, but Remus and Sirius really does it for me. So
that's okay.
I am emotionally invested. So when A Distant Sun started recording Remus and Sirius stuff, I was so happy. Oh my gosh. I did a happy dance in my living room. And
because
centered.
We are fans. We are fans of A Distant
Lots of
Sun.
Flailing. Mm. Yes. That
like her.
Full disclosure.
We don't want you to seem as though it's like, don't just do your friends. It's just clear,
I'm sorry, don't just do your friends.
Just do your friends.
It's a good rule of thumb for life, I think.
Well, it's also really hard because Puffit community is so tight-knit. There's a lot of people that we know or that we've interacted with. So it's hard to kind of be that objective about stuff that we listen
True.
To.
True, and it's getting, the Podfic community is getting wider and more varied day by day, and I think that's fantastic and wonderful, which is another reason that we're going to try to at least listen to one Podfic from somebody we've never heard of or heard listen to their stuff before, or maybe they're brand new per episode.
For me, that's two people. It was good. It was a learning experience.
Yeah, no, because it is fun. I mean, that's sort of the point of this podcast, also to introduce our listeners to new stuff they may not have heard of before. That was something that Lunch Eater Post did for me, too. And I was listening to the clips and samples and things and going, gee, why haven't I listened to this person before? Oh, because they do fandoms I'm not in, so of course I didn't download it. But listening to the clips, there's some things I was like, oh, I should really grab that.
Really, even
though it's not my fandom, it's not my pairing, it's not anybody I've ever listened to before. Gets you outside your comfort zone.
But Podfig is just really nice for that, because you get to do it through the lens of somebody else who really cares about it and has the emotional response to it. It's really amazing as well, because different podfickers choose different fics for a reason, and you get to really explore that through the journey of listening to them tell you a story, like how personal it is and why it is that they kind of choose to do stuff, and why it might be that that particular person, it resonates with them but not with other podfickers. Because it's actually quite rare that people do repod stuff or have that feeling of like, oh, they got there first and I didn't. At least not like from what I can pick up from the podfic community at large. Like, there's not usually that much overlap of people who are like, oh, we totally have the same taste in fic or whatever. Where was I going with that?
I don't recall anymore, but it is an excellent point.
Well, I mean, that's one of the really cool things about that I really, really like about podfic. Like, when I was starting to do podfic, I didn't really want to do huge things in the fandom because what if I screwed it up? But also it was because I thought there were other fics that were deserving of getting listened to and recorded. And so I focused on doing those. Like, I focused on things that I actually liked rather than the things that I thought would be popular, if that makes sense. Because that was more important to me for some reason.
Well, podfic is, it's a recommendation in and of itself, because somebody is going to spend the time with it. And it's a lot of time that you have to spend with it. Not only recording, but editing and betaing and re-recording and re-recording and re-recording.
So much re-recording. So much editing. It's amazing anybody gets anything posted.
No.
They just made themselves stop editing it. So
yeah. You got to stop somewhere.
You have to stop. You have to stop. At some point, you have to say, I've fiddled with this too much now. It doesn't work anymore. You have to stop before you reach that
point. Or you'll just spiral into madness.
Or you'll just have shit that you just haven't released because it's like, no, I should really redo that. And that's like kind of the pitfall.
But anyway, we were talking about a particular podcast before we spiraled into madness. Let's talk about Angels of the Silences. So this is a short little fic, and I was just, something about A Distant Sun's reading is tone for her is always so good. It's so good for me. It's not whispered, but it feels like a story that's being told to me in confidence in some ways. Like, I really like listening to her stuff as I'm trying to fall asleep. Not because it puts me to sleep.
No, I mean, I totally understand. Like, it's really soothing and like kind of, I've got a note down here. It says like, the mood is like pillow talk. Like,
yes, the word I have written down is intimate.
Apples and oranges. Yeah. I totally get that. It's more like she's telling you something very quietly and to the side, and it's kind of, it's quiet and lovely. So that's kind of like why I enjoyed A Distant Sun as well. She's also very, very expressive, but she's really good at creating whatever mood it is that the fic calls for as well. I've heard her before with her Glee RPF, five times Darren gets Chris to stop smoking, which is a very different animal from Angels of Silence, which is kind of like a more, it's a morning scene of two lovers getting ready with their day or something like that. I'm not really sure in the context, but that's kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned the way she creates a scene. I'm also really jealous of her character voices because they're so clear to me. You'll have to tell me if it's just me or, because I've listened to her serious and Remus stuff before, so I kind of already know what her serious voice and her Remus voice sounds like. But the very first dialogue in the podcast is, to me, it was clearly Sirius speaking first and Remus second.
Again? Yes. You? Oh, yes.
And I don't know if it's the same for someone who hasn't heard her stuff before.
Okay. It wasn't that dialogue heavy, so I actually didn't pay attention to the voices that she put on. I do know that she's got a really good hold on it because she has been doing it for like half a year, that her voices are really quite concrete in her own mind. But for me, like, because it was only like 3 minutes, I didn't
latch on to that. I'm
sorry. I can re-listen to it right now and then give you an answer. I'm sorry. But no, I thought that the way that she created the mood of the entire thing was really, really powerful. It was exactly the kind of thing that you, upon looking at a scene of two people in bed, it's kind of like the best thing, her characterization and her, the way that she performed the narrative. It was like, oh, it fits it so well.
Yeah, and when she does dialogue, she includes huffs and laughters and you know, like expressive sounds that humans make.
Super expressive.
I love that. I love that in podfic because it just, it makes it feel real, like it's a character who's actually speaking. It's not that I'm sitting here listening to someone read me a story off the page. It feels like I'm actually listening to the character read this to me. And it's just that extra bit of realness.
Yeah. Like, you can only kind of do that in conjunction. Not that there's anything, you know, different strokes for different folks, because there's a lot of pod figures that don't try to come up with voices and stuff, because, you know, we're not professionals and you do as much as you can. When you hit people like a distant son who can do the narrative voice and also character voices, it's a really fun experience as a listener.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel valued.
To your point, different strokes for different folks. Obviously, I'm not saying that everybody should try and do this in their podfic. And if you aren't good at character voices and whatever, that's fine. That's not your thing. It's not your thing. I've heard tons and tons and tons of wonderful podfic that I love very dearly that doesn't do that. And I know I'm total rubbish at character voices too. So I'm more about cadence, but conversation for another time.
Is it a conversation for another time? We should go into that.
We will touch upon it at some point. We can't cover every topic I want to speak about in the first podcast. Otherwise, it's going to be like 10 hours long and everybody's going to just tune out two minutes in.
Okay. Yes.
But anyway, what was the point I was trying to get to?
You were going in and you knew straight away that she was going with her serious voice when they started to actually have dialogue, which is pretty powerful, I think. That's a huge mark of someone who's doing a good job, is like when you can tell that there is dialogue, it wasn't narrative.
Yeah, I can't remember specifically, but I don't think there were any dialogue tags on. It's been a while since I listened to this. Maybe there are. I'm sorry if there are. Somebody's going to point out that there is at least one in there now. But
it's okay.
But,
we'll re-listen to it. We'll edit that out.
All right. Editing. A+.
Okay. Well, the one thing that I really enjoyed about there are a few things that I enjoyed about Angels of Silence. One is that it had the ability to create the mood so quickly in 3 minutes. And it's really an advantage coming from people who don't have that very much time to be able to go in and listen to a complete thing. And it is really, really complete, like in all senses of like where I'm coming from as a person who makes podfics. It's really polished. She's given it a lot of thought as to kind of the musical elements, the narrative elements, the pacing, everything. And it just feels like really, really nice. It's really solid. And it's something that you don't really get with longer podfics, only because if people are like me, they're just like, fuck it. And because it's just too long and you're just like, whatever. But in really short pieces, you can really tell that people have gone over it for a very long time and gotten it just right. And that's kind of like what I feel about Angels of Silences.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to add. Great podfic, recommended.
It's really nice. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how, because I knew it was going to be good because The Distant Son is a very good reader. I didn't know if I was going to like the story or not, but she was very good at creating the mood of that. But also I felt really hungry because like I love blueberries and her cover had blueberries on it. And I was like, fuck, they're so good. I love them. she had me from there. She had me from food. If you guys put food on your covers, or if there's food in your podfics, I will like it. I will feel really hungry. And then in my like comment back to you, I'll probably tell you that I felt really hungry when you were describing food. It's a thing that I do. Anyway, I have like one line that I really, really enjoyed, and it was,
there will never be words for this. The sacred silences, they whisper like the names of God. Unto thee only, my own, my evermore.
And the way that she delivers that is so performative and so good. Like, it's really intimate and it's really, not holy, but it's like, has a lot of adoration in it. And I just thought, oh, so good. It was really, really nice. But that was, for me, that was like kind of the standout sort of line. And it just made me really jealous. I was like, oh. Because that's like kind of the one thing that I really enjoy about listening to other podfics. Although that's also a pitfall for me, because I tend to like try to regurgitate shit that I've heard. And so listening to other people's podfics while I'm doing podfics is a terrible idea. I will try to mimic the sound patterns that I've been hearing, but then like you get things like, you know,
unto thee only, my own, my evermore.
And I'm like, I can't replicate that because it's so awesome. Like it's really specific to that podfic at that time space. It only happened there. And I was really jealous of that. I'm like, where can I find a fic that happened so that I can do that as well? But it just, yeah, it was so lovely. And I really, really enjoyed that. It's my favorite part.
I know what you mean with that about mimicking other people's podfic while you're recording podfic. I don't think it's bad. I think it's good for us to try and emulate people who are doing interesting things. but
But it's hard.
Sometimes like... it is hard, and sometimes it's less of an emulation and more of an, for me at least, a terrible caricature.
That's so no. What? No.
Those are the bits I edit out. Go away before being released to the public. But or I send it to you and you tell me, what are you doing in this?
I don't think I've ever said that to you.
Well, you should. Oh, we should mention for people out there who may not know that you and I beta our stuff very, very often.
I make Joe like beta things that she doesn't want to beta. I also make Joe listen to things that she doesn't want to listen to. So it's a great relationship.
Like social network porn star AUs. Yeah.
Not only that, but I made you listen to a team with Podvic. And I'm like,
My job is done. All of the internet, what VividCon with my close friends locally could not do.
Oh my gosh! I feel even better now! I didn't even know to see you in person. I'm across the sea from you.
You are such a bad influence.
From the future. I made you do it from the future.
A terrible person.
It's only Teen Wolf. Come on. Yeah. It's only Teen Wolf.
Should we talk about... We should probably talk about that one now. Okay. We can... move forward. I think we've said all there is to say. Well, not all there is to say, but plenty about Angels of the Silences. So let's talk about the Ebb of the Sea.
Can we bring up one more thing? Like,
transitioned.
No! We can go back and work that transition, whatever.
All right.
Okay, well, I just wanted to point out that a very interesting pod figures note that A Distant Sun left in the post of, please, pod figures, if you are listening to this, please put some notes into either your post or your podfix, because I like that. I'm really nosy, yes. And I want to know about your process. I want to know shit. Like, you should put it in there, because I'm interested. Put it in.
Me too. Second. So two of us on the internet really want to read your notes, so you should post them.
Yes, please. I don't like being, like, pretty much the only one who kind of rambles after podfic. I want to listen to other people ramble as well. Because you're probably more articulate than I am.
And obviously you've thought about it a lot because you've been working on it for however long.
So much. You have such insights.
You have deep thoughts and feelings, and I want to know what they are.
Yes.
Because I have deep thoughts and feelings as well.
Yes. And if you do it, it positions us in a really good way because we like feel even more emotionally invested in like, oh, she really, really likes it. I mean, not she. They really, really like it. I should give it a shot because like I'm coming into it knowing that she loves it this much. I just used the pronoun again. They love it this much. Okay, well, what I wanted to bring up is that A Distant Sun, when she posted this, this is only a five minutes, six minutes, and she said that I did it in a few hours because I wanted to podfix something just for me. And I just wanted to bring up, it's 6 minutes, and about 2 minutes of that is music, but she did it in a few hours. So if before you weren't really like kind of convinced that podficking was a labor of love, now you know. It's like it takes a long time for a podficker to feel really happy enough to post it, even if it's that short. And it's only that, like, and that's why I brought it up earlier, that short things tend to have a more complete feel to it because you spend so much more time with it since it is so short. So yeah, that is what I wanted to bring up, Joe.
All right, so now we can transition to
The Ebb of the Sea. A Teen Wolf fanfic written by Lady Laid and read by Fire Juggler.
As mentioned, a Teen Wolf podfic.
That I made Joe listen to.
Yeah, Styles Derek. And not even that, it's an
whatever, AU, it's about Selkies.
Of Teen Wolf.
It's not even about wolves, it's about Selkies.
It's not my fandom, it's not my pairing, it's not even in the same universe as the fandom. Well, it is, but you know, AU.
You pick it up like straight off because it has pretty much mostly nothing to do with Teen Wolf and their character.
Yeah, that is very true. So even if you're not familiar with Teen Wolf, it's something you can just sit down and listen to. And I'm passingly familiar with Teen Wolf because, again, I have been
on
attempted
internet?
To be peer pressured into this fandom for a while now, and I've seen some 4 episodes. So I know who the characters are, and they're basic people. It's the
more
basic
than me.
Framework, you know.
I don't want to sully myself with actually having to watch the show to enjoy the fandom, so I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry if you're a really big diehard Teen Wolf. What is she saying? If you think that I should go and watch it, but I'm not going to. I know enough about it. I've seen the GIFs. It's fine.
Doesn't mean you can't enjoy the fandom. So
yeah, exactly. I've enjoyed many a thing without actually having seen the source text or the source video. It's fine. I'll fake it till I make it.
Yep. So should we talk about the podfic?
Yes, we should talk about the podfic.
So something I really liked about this reading was because it's about Selkies, just to give you a premise here.
Oh, yes. We should have a summary of it. It's working on the premise that Styles has always been a Selkie. His human mother was not able to conceive. And so she took him and took his skin and basically made him live an existence where he couldn't return to the sea. Which is actually kind of horrible now that I think about it, but it's great. It's really good. It explores a different supernatural element to Teen Wolf that does not have to do with werewolves and has to do with Selkies that I frankly love. I love Selkies. That's why I made Joe listen to it.
Mm. And the first part of this, the podfic and the story is just backstory. It's explaining.
It's that, lovely setup.
Yes. It's explaining that his mother stole his pelt, so he grew up with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no dialogue whatsoever in that part. Mm. And it's very, the way it's read, the way Fire Juggler reads it, is very kind of mythic fairy tale tone. It feels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It feels so like I'm sitting there listening to a narrator tell me this about some beautiful, like, montage
going on. Yes. It kind of feels like those beginning bits of the animated movies where they kind of explain to you the backstory before you get into the actual movie. You know, like Mulan or I think maybe it was Kung Fu Panda, something. And like, and they kind of like have this sprawling sort of like in the beginning of time kind of feel to it. That Fire Juggler, like because it, but it's a fable. So she doesn't do it in that style, but she does it in a kind of like sitting around the campfire, like 1500s, lute in hand. Kind of feeling to it. So even before she even went into that, though, I was already sold because she had put in really appropriate music. It's like a very folky kind of guitar strumming.
It was violin and piano, or at least the ending music was, and I can't remember if it's different, so...
Good ear. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, because I have a note for it also. It's something I wanted to talk about.
Oh, bring it up. Bring it up now.
I just thought it was a very nice choice for a Selkie story. It was a bit melancholy, and it did feel like fable-ish.
Yes.
I thought it was an excellent music choice.
Yes.
But the thing I was also going to say is the front end of the podfic is this story narration sort of feeling to it, and it just turns on a dime when the first bit of dialogue comes in, which is just...
It's okay, Dad.
Which is the first bit of Styles dialogue, and then it's so casual. And it was a little bit jarring, but in a good way. Mm. It's like, hey, this is still Teen Wolf. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. That's right.
Oh, hey. But I just really thought that was that kind of the skill level that Fire Juggler has with being able to do a fable-like reading and then just popping into the dialogue aspect of it. And then it's not too dialogue intensive, but having said that, there's three people who talk. There's Sheriff Stilinski, Styles, and Derek, and they all have very distinctive voices and distinctive cadences to the way that they talk. The first time that dialogue actually happens, I don't think you notice it too much because it's very similar to the narrative style itself, and it's just his dad saying,
I don't know where she put it. I love you, and I want you here because you're my son. But I think you're unhappy. I would give it to you if I knew where it was.
And then there's Styles saying, like, that's okay, Dad, don't worry about it.
Yes.
Mm. One of the things that, as you were saying, that A Distant Son does really well with her Remus and Sirius voice is that you can tell them apart. And for me, Fire Juggler can also do the same thing. Actually, like, so many people can do that. Like, so many pod figures do have very different cadences for people, and why wouldn't they? Because clearly it's easier for us to kind of separate and where we're going with how we're going to tell it if we do have those very specific personalities in mind as we're doing all of the dialogue. It's really not that surprising that so many people do it and are good at it. But yeah, so there's like very distinctively Styles is it's like very bright and lighthearted and casual, whereas Derek's tone is like an octave
Derek's
lower.
Derek. Even I know Derek is Derek.
I don't know what I don't really know what they sound like. I actually haven't heard anything that they've done.
Wow, my knowledge is greater than yours in this realm.
I know, and yet.
Well, Derek is very serious, you know, and as I'm sure you know just from his general characterization, I agree with what you're saying. Her Styles is very lighthearted and very Styles, it feels like to me, and Derek is very clearly Derek. It's always nice, I have to say, when you get two characters who are your main pairing in a fic, and when you're reading for it, and they have very distinctive voices.
But it's also, I mean, Styles and Derek, I think they're really, really popular for a reason, and it's because they fulfill that kind of opposites, well, complementary sides work really well together, and it really shows in podfic as well, because there's a very distinctive way people do Styles and a very distinctive way people do Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put them together, it's a really good, like, rather than trying to think of a pairing that doesn't have that much, too much of a distinction to it in those terms. I can't really
think of... because I so gravitate towards the ones that are very different.
But yeah, I mean, but there's a reason. There's a reason that you do.
No, I just did one recently too, and how do I do this? Everybody sounds the same. Oh, it was Clint and Natasha, which is kind of hilarious. I was like, they sound the same. What do I do? And obviously, they don't sound exactly the same, but they're similar enough in tone that it threw me for a loop. So anyway, I really respect anyone who can make different voices sound very distinct.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where I was going with that.
Mm. And Fire Juggler does it really well in this. But she does it, I think she does it in really well in... I haven't listened to any of her Harry Potter stuff because, again, not there. But her Teen Wolf stuff, which I've listened to a little bit, she's got those kinds of voices dead on. So, like, I've never seen the show, but I know what Fire Juggler thinks of the characters through how she's decided to depict each character's dialogue.
That's interesting. I want to send you clips of the show or something now, just so you can see if there's any cognitive dissonance. Just going like, why doesn't he sound like Fire Juggler? I don't understand.
Why don't you sound more American? What's wrong with you? This is horrible. This is the worst thing. But I fear actually that I will actually think this is horrible. This is the worst thing, and I wouldn't want anything to do with it. Whereas if I just enjoy the fandom, I don't need to worry about that. It can be a thing that is actually about this ADHD kid taking care of a wolf pack who hates him.
Yeah, fandom can sell it.
Yeah, fandom is giving me the elements of what I want.
This is kind of how, like, I will never actually watch Legend of the Seeker. I will only watch vids for Legend of the Seeker because vids are amazing and beautiful, and I've constructed this narrative about what this show is about in my head.
Yes.
And I do not want to ruin that.
Yes, 100% yes. Like, do I care about anybody else in Teen Wolf? Not particularly. I just like Styles. I don't even really care. I don't really care if, like, he's with Derek. I just really like Styles as a character.
That seems to be the overall feeling of Teen Wolf fandom, at least that I've experienced, is just Styles. By the way, Styles. Just saying, Styles.
Cross him over in everything. Have Styles everywhere. That is what I want. I want Styles everywhere.
So anyway, this podfic.
Oh boy. Yeah.
This has been a launching point for a Teen Wolf podcast. Who knew? Certainly not me.
This is funny because now you're going to try and make me watch clips of it. This is like.
Which is the opposite of.
It's the opposite of what you want.
Somehow. Yes. Like, why am I the one? I'm not even in this fandom. I wasn't even supposed to come in today. Anyway.
I love a lot of things about this. This is why I made you listen to it. Oh, that's why I made you listen to it. But there's a lot of, like, very serious elements to the story, but it's juxtaposed with Styles' dialogue and the humor of it. It's very serious. That's kind of like a thing that I really enjoyed about the story itself, because it was a different genre from the rest of, like, Teen Wolf fic that you kind of get.
Which I'm not really familiar with, so you may have to give me a quick overview. Is it really cracky? Is it really funny for the most part? I mean...
I feel like most of it is, like, Merlin Modern Age.
Ah, that is something I am very familiar with.
Yeah, it's a little bit that style. And there's not really...
Yeah.
It's very straightforward third-person storytelling, whereas this feels like it's part of a large universe, even though it's only 20 minutes. There's a lot of world-building in it that doesn't happen in most Teen Wolf fanfic.
Cool.
Sorry. What was the point?
I just don't have anything to add to it.
I didn't even know what the point I was making was. But it was just different, and it was big. And I really enjoyed it, and that's why I made you listen to it. But it's, like, not a good thing for you to listen to, because it's not indicative of what's in the actual fandom.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I would have... I didn't not get anything out of it. I got a lot out of it, but I feel like maybe I would have gotten more out of it if I had the experience of all these other fics that were pretty straightforward and whatnot, and then this one comes along, and it's different and experimental and cool.
Mm. I think so too, but the bulk of fanfiction is not experimental and cool. Like, the bulk of fanfiction is straightforward storytelling, so the narrative style was really appealing to me in that way as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Most, like, the masses are probably pretty straightforward, but I'm always attracted to that fic that is experimental and cool.
Mm. Mm. And it's super experimental and cool. I don't really think you could have expanded on that any more than that 25 minutes that we spent on it. It was just, like, so good for what it is. It's, like, a perfect... I feel as though it's like it was even just a little bit ruined by having that little epilogue at the end, because it undercut the entire seriousness of the story.
I'm actually pretty bad at swimming. Bullshit, Derek says. I almost drowned once in a 6-foot pool when I was 14.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the same time, though, I remember the story ending, and I was like, oh, sad end. But then there was an epilogue, and everything was okay. So I went along with the epilogue, but I can see how it's tonally different from what was going on prior to it.
In the epilogue, that's basically what you would get for the most of normal Teen Wolf fic.
Mm.
Like, that's the more prevalent side of it. And I just thought, oh, and then no. So that was me.
Again, not coming from that experience, so
yeah.
I experienced it slightly differently.
Mm. Well, at this point in time, when I had listened to it the first time, I had, like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, either the first or the second incident that I had with Teen Wolf, coming from where you're coming from, which was, like, not really having that much information, but it was okay. On the second listen through, now that I've gone through much more of the fandom, it has a little bit more meaning, but it wasn't hugely impact a lot on what my original feelings were of the podfic the first time that I listened to it.
Okay. I don't have much to add.
This is a rambler.
So I don't have that many notes for this one, okay. So I'm glad you have a lot of opinions. Did you have something else?
There are a few moments where she delivered, like, my favorite moments were when she got to deliver all of those lines that had that really fable, fairy tale feel to it, like this clip.
So she went to the sea to mourn, because the sea knew all about salt water, and the waves would whisper apologies against her toes as she sat on the shore.
And it was a beautiful, like, imagery type moment. And I was like, oh, it's so good. Because of the way that she delivered it as well. It was just like, this is giving me all of, like, the fairy tale feelings. I'm just like, oh, it's so good. And when you find out where Styles' pelt is, it was really huge for me as well. Like, I really wish she'd left more of a silence after that line. Because so quickly after that, you get to the epilogue.
Mm.
But that was me. Those fable elements just... Yeah, they were really, really my favorite part. And the best thing about podfic is that sometimes, like, they do such a good job. You can't separate the story from the storytelling. They've done such a good job with the enhancement that you feel that it's a part of it.
It's kind of like special effects in a way. Like, if you're aware that the reader is there, if you're aware the special effects are there, you're probably not doing it
yeah,
right.
Yeah, basically, I feel like when people come back and comment and say, like, I really don't know what to... say about it, but I really enjoyed it. You probably did a really good job because it seems so natural.
Yeah.
Those are the most rewarding podfics to listen to.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to go to it and leave a comment that's just like, I love everything about this. I can't tell you what specifically because I will just leave a comment the size of the fic because I will just every sentence go, this was amazing, this was amazing, this was amazing, this was amazing, and it will be very long.
Yeah, every single line. I really love the way you delivered this. It was so good. That's how I feel about it.
mm-hmm. Something unrelated to the reading I wanted to bring up about this one, though, is the URL to the fic that's included at the end, which I thought was interesting. What do we think of putting URLs into podfic itself? Is it useful? Does anyone actually write that down and then go leave a comment for the author? In this case, it was just a URL to the fic, not back to the podfic.
I'm okay with that. If not something that people actually jot down, it's at least gives you that breadcrumb to remember. Because by the end of it, who knows how many times you stopped and started the podfic? Who knows how long ago you actually downloaded it? You probably don't have that information anymore. Like, I always go into podfic thinking that these people are probably not going to listen to it. And they're probably not going to remember where they downloaded it from. And even if they only downloaded it like a week ago, like in Amplificathon, the posts go like that quickly. especially nowadays. And there's it's a really booming community now. So there's just no guarantee that people will have the patience to go and kind of search for it themselves if you don't kind of lead them to it. So I don't find anything wrong with putting URLs at the back end of particularly long podfics. But I do wish that podfic is actually led back to their own journals and stuff as well.
Yeah, I agree. In this case, it would have been nice to have also a URL back to the podfic in case, you know, I wanted to leave feedback for the podficker. Because if I go to the author's post, they may or may not have a link there. In most cases, probably not. A link to the podfic. There's nothing wrong with including a URL in the podfic itself. It's a perfectly legitimate way of advertising it, but I'm more of a fan of short URLs if you're going to use a URL. I would say if you want to leave a comment for me, I'm at revolutionaryjoe.dreamwith.org. Yeah. Find me there. Or the author's journal link, but probably not the, you know, /1234.html.
Yeah.
That gets a bit long and people tune it out.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people are going to quote-unquote click through from there. You can put it in the metadata.
Mm.
You can put it in your post. I think the easier way to get people into that path of leaving feedback for yourself or yourself as the reader and for the author is to really, like you said, leave the breadcrumb there. So as far
leave
as that
goes. Leave more breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Leave more breadcrumbs.
Leave more breadcrumbs because that way people come back and they give you feedback, especially leave breadcrumbs for yourself.
Oh my God, leave breadcrumbs for yourself. We already, like Podfic has already do not get many comments at all. Why would you lessen that chance even further by not linking back to yourself?
And maybe you don't want a whole lot of feedback, and that's fine. But sometimes I get to the end of a podfic, and I'm like, wow, that was really great. I really want to go back and leave feedback for this person, but I downloaded it 3 years ago.
No idea.
I have no idea where it came from.
No idea.
Nothing's coming up in Google. And, you know, but make it easy for the person to leave you feedback if you want feedback.
Yeah. Definitely breadcrumb it. Breadcrumb it like hell.
I always try.
Yeah.
I'm not always successful.
Yeah. There's no reason not to, I don't think. Especially if you're going to go the whole hog and spruik the author as well. If you're already going to do it, why not spruik yourself?
Yeah.
You've already put all the hard work into it. And I feel it's such a shame. We're doing like through five and only three of them had breadcrumbs back to the author, and none of them had any breadcrumbs back to the reader. And I don't know I don't know if we're operating out of a sense that, oh, well, if they really like it, they'll just go back to the post where they downloaded it from. Like, no.
Now I'm going to look at the metadata and see if there are any URLs in there, but I don't think there is.
And having that breadcrumb at the end, like Joe said, like it's not really for you to kind of listen to it and then type in the URL as you're listening to it to go and leave feedback, but rather just a reminder that you should do it. If you liked it, it is a thing that would make people happy. It makes me sad that the only kind of breadcrumbs you leave are breadcrumbs for the author when you've clearly spent so much time with it.
Yeah, and that's about all I have to say about that right now. So,
well, I don't know. Do you know if it works?
Well, I always at the end of mine leave, you know, I say if you would like to leave feedback for myself or the author, visit my dream with. So I funneled those people through me. And I feel like I get a fair number of comments for my work. I don't feel like I'm lacking.
Yeah.
But then again, I also, in talking to other people, I feel like I'm very fortunate that I get as many comments as I do. And maybe that is because at the end of every podfic I do mention, please come back, leave me feedback. It would be great.
I definitely believe that is so. Yeah. I feel that too, because I breadcrumb to myself and I do experience more than the average rate of comments of podfic, which by the way is zero, nothing. Mm-hmm. So I experience more than that. And I can only think that it must be because we've done something to help funnel it back.
Yes. I thought I had something else to add to that, but now I've forgotten what it was.
It's also because you're a very good reader, you know. That helps.
Well, shut up. You're amazing. That's why you get a million comments, because you're amazing.
I don't think there's a million. No way. No way. We have to move on. We can't talk about this.
No, we can't, because that would just be the most boring podcast ever. You're great. No, you're great.
No, you're great. Awesome. Oh my God. No.
This is a lot one of our beta emails sound like. It's one of us going, I'm terrible, and the other going, no, you're amazing.
You're so good. I'm terrible. And the person coming back. Clear, like, we just don't have a lot of self-esteem. That's, I think, probably what it is.
Oh, podfickers in general don't, and they should, because they're also amazing.
Yeah, you get a lot out of it.
Sorry, I'm stuck on the word amazing, but it's true.
No, you get so much out of it. You just... You get so much out of it, not just through creating it, but listening to it. You just get like all the nuances that you missed or never even had the chance to experience. And it's just great. It's really, really good. So you have to depend on somebody else having already created a fic for it. But like at this point, to me, it's kind of secondary because I probably wouldn't have checked out the fic in the first place. You're doing me a service.
Podfic opens doors.
Yep.
To other fandoms that you could be in, because you need more fandoms in your life, clearly.
Word.
Except Teen Wolf. I don't know if I can follow you there. Sorry, Teen Wolf fans.
You are going to be in a world of hurt for a while then, I think.
Oh,
it's really booming.
You never know. You know, I shouldn't even say that because there are so many fandoms, as I've told you, Lunchy, before, that I have been like, no.
It's never going to happen. And then it happened.
Yes.
It happened so hard and you were stuck for so long.
Like, that whole year, I was absolutely insane for American Idol. Oh, my God. I lost my mind. I knew it. It was so great, and I don't regret a second of it, and I still love it dearly, I was crazy pants. Oh, my God.
You and me both. We were like, Astolat.
Yes, it's always her fault.
Always her. It's always her fault.
She writes an amazing fic, and I read it, and I'm like, well, shit, now I'm in this fandom.
She's got a lot of explaining to do. A lot of explaining. Other things that we like. What is the next one that we are going to do?
The next podfic I have...
Incunabula by Jabralis. Read by Chestnut Philly.
Inception podfic with Inception Shenanigans.
Incunabula? Oh my God, I can't say it properly. Well done, Chestnut Philly, for pronouncing that correctly.
I feel like if Chestnut Philly didn't pronounce it correctly, we've also not pronounced it correctly.
Possibly, yes.
I don't know what it means. I'm in front of a computer. Maybe I should Google that.
Yes, we should Google that.
Let's Google that. Let's Google Incunabula. We are so well researched. We're amazing.
Oh, hello, Wikipedia. Incunabule, or sometimes Incunabulum, is a book, pamphlet, or broadside that was printed, not handwritten, before the year 1501 in Europe.
The archaic meaning. The early stages of the development of something. Okay. That doesn't really explain that much more of the fic to me.
No. But that's okay. I don't really care. I'm fine with that because I enjoyed it a lot. And it is an Ariadne and Mal fic. And yay, Lady Slash.
Ladies! That was so good. That was so good, ladies. It was so great. It says something that like only one in four that we are covering today is ladies. Ladies-oriented. And not only ladies-oriented, but ladies-oriented with ladies that actually exist and not a gender-swap version of ladies.
Yeah.
So already existing ladies. Which is like, you know what? That's a fault that you find with shows that are male protagonist's strong point.
I think it's sadly representative of fandom in general, and thus stemming from the shows too. I'm not pinning this entirely on fandom.
No.
And we have a podfic later we'll talk about which sort of goes over feelings about that in depth, but we'll get there. We'll get there. That's jumping ahead. Yeah, I just wish there was more femme slash in podfic fandom. And there is a fair amount, and there's a fair amount of head out there into and gen, but obviously not in the quantities of that I male want. Slash.
I fell into the hole of Hunger Games fiction just right after the movie came out, like into the lead up of the movie. I was just like, oh, I want all the Katniss. I want all of it. And I didn't find that much of it.
Oh, sad face.
It was sad.
Is the Hunger Games fandom for fic even that big? I've never gone looking, actually, so I can't speak to it.
It kind of only, like, I went on AO3 and I was like, this cannot be it. But most of it seems to be on fanfiction.net, which is a scary place, and I don't want to really do that. So I kind of, I went through rec posts, but mostly all of the fic that I did read, barely any of it was from Katniss's point of view. Most of it was from Peter's point of view, which is clearly a good choice because all the books are from Katniss's point of view, and she's such a unreliable narrator, and she doesn't like notice shit that I want to like her to notice. So it's good that it's from Peter's point of view. But having said that, it's like it's a guy's point of view. Maybe we could do it from Primrose's point of view next time. I don't know. But yeah, it was lovely. There were a few things that were like really exciting that I was able to read, but it wasn't huge and booming, which is sad for for a movie that made $500 million.
Well, movie fandoms always seem to be pretty, well, it's not just a movie fandom, obviously, there are books behind it, but for me, it seems like movie fandoms are always sort of flash in the pan. They're super popular for a little while and then they taper off. But this is now a Hunger Games podcast. Who knew?
I just want to tell you the worst audiobook experience of my life was listening to Mockingjay, because I was so angry.
Really?
Yeah, I was really, really angry after I read the second book, which was Catching Fire. I was so angry at Katniss. I was so angry, and I was just like, Katniss.
Oh, okay. Well, you weren't angry at the reader. Okay. I listened to those audiobooks. I really liked them, actually. I loved the reader for them. She was great. I can't remember her name
now. Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't have a great experience with her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are we talking about the same person?
I do not have a great experience with the dude who reads Song of Ice and Fire books.
It's like three dudes that do that, though.
I have such a hateful experience with him. Sorry if you like him. I'm just... It's out there. An audio podcast.
it's interrelated and it's interesting. Wait, so there's three guys.
I have a lot of feelings about Mockingjay too. We should talk about them. Sometimes that's not.
Are we gonna remember? Okay, but yeah, it was the worst, and we'll get back to that sometime later. And Joe's Ice and Fire was the worst, and so we'll have to cover that sometime.
You can do just the all audiobook review of this podcast.
Let's talk about audiobooks that we found questionable or terrible or okay.
Or great, you know.
Or
I just tag on audiobook recorders for
or so good that you just want to cry and hide under a rock and never do anything ever again. Like, that's kind of how I felt after I listened to a couple of podfics. I was like, what am I doing? Just leave it to these guys. You're just like, yeah, it's a great experience. And then you come down from that and you're like,
oh, I don't know. I think part of my getting into podficking, just because I came into it of my own accord, not even knowing other people were doing it, was listening to audiobooks and going, damn it, I could read better than this shit.
Oh.
Not all audiobooks, obviously, but some of them. I'm just like, I'm so disappointed.
I was so disappointed with Mockingjay. I was definitely like, I could do a better job than this. I could. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm just like, all of your feelings.
Different people like different readers. That's the same of professional actors. It's the same of various podfickers. We should talk about the podfic.
Okay, incunabula, after we have looked up the dictionary definition and still not really understanding where it's coming from.
It's something to do with literature and writing in the 1500s. I'm not really clear. But I'm also not really clear on what that has to do with the fic, but it could just be that I've forgotten some integral part of it. Since I listened to it earlier this week.
I actually did listen to it twice. The first time I listened through it, I didn't understand it. And then the second time I listened through to it, I was like, oh, okay. I kind of feel like I understand it a little bit more. So I think it's like one of those, I think it's a really cool story for her to have podficked, because it is one of those stories that has you thinking a lot. And like, I couldn't pass it the first time around. I had to listen to it again, which I thought was like, that's a mark of a really good story choice. But clearly, because I was doing it for this podcast as well, I didn't really want to go in. So, I didn't really understand it. So, I had to listen to it again.
Saying you didn't understand the story, not the reader.
No, it was the first time that I'd listened to her. But she had a very sort of soothing cadence to her. And her voice is really, really deep, which is like, I envy. I envy that.
I love that. I'm sorry. I just baritones. I have a thing. Yeah, you and I trying to just like damning Benedict Cumberbatch for existing the whole time trying to record Sherlock podcast.
Not even that. I'm just like envious of fire juggler and basically everyone. Everybody can do a better octave down than I can. And I'm just I'm hating all of you all the time.
Yep. Our hate is solidified because, I also cannot do that.
You just should feel my hatred whenever you're doing a podfic and you put your voice down. Just feel it. And you feel that malevolence that is me going like, I hate you so much.
I hate you, subtext. I love you. Keep talking.
Like, I love that you do it, but I hate that you do it. God damn you. to me, naturally, her voice is very deep. So that was that was very nice. And she has
a sound quality was so clear. Not a hint of background noise to be heard. I always appreciate that. Background noise can be interesting and fun, and I can hear cat bells in the background or some people's podcast, and I love that. But you can tell when there is a lot of effort put into something to get it, crystal clear.
Yes.
And I appreciate that.
Well. Yes, very much. Very much so. I had a very, she's a different animal from the other two podfics that we've just done. Fire Juggler and A Distant Sun have a very expressive narrative voice, Whereas I feel like Chestnut Philly is a more of a declarative voice.
I agree.
Likes the words more than she wants to imprint on the words. That is what I feel. What did you feel about the story choice and how she did it? Because I clearly had problems, but what about you?
I didn't have any problems. I listened to it the first time through and it made perfect sense to me. And I really liked the story choice. I wasn't looking at it with the text.
No.
But I did go back later on and take a look at the text, and I found it very interesting that the text is very broken up into sections, but the way it's read, you don't get that. It's very smooth flow throughout, but she uses pauses really well. Like, there's a part...
Or we could do this, Maul suggests, and kisses her on the mouth. They kiss for a long time. A very long time.
There's just this beautiful pause that happens right after that, and then it carries on.
Mm.
But that doesn't always happen between the sections, and I think it works really well in podfic form for me. It's very flowing and smooth, whereas the fic itself feels a little bit choppy because of those breaks.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a different experience, and I think I think I prefer the podfic version.
Well, definitely coming from somebody who didn't read the text. I actually thought if were I to look at the text, it would kind of follow through that there weren't that many pauses in it simply because of the way that Chestnut Philly read it. And I thought that I didn't understand the first time through, but the second time through, I was like, yes, I kind of, I'm hoping that I'm constructing the right kind of reality of this fic. That's really interesting that Jabralis's was really so broken up, but Chestnut Philly chose to do that. But I choose to do that as well sometimes. I kind of mark it, scene breaks with music. But as I kept going, I realized that that wasn't something that I wanted to do all the time. I didn't want to keep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you could break this one up with music because it's seriously a sentence or two and then a break. A sentence or two and a break. Sometimes one sentence and a break. And that would be really distracting in podfic form.
It would be really
distracting. Every couple of seconds of music.
Yeah.
I think the right choice was made in this case, which is just to keep it flowing throughout and use pauses for emphasis.
That's a really interesting thing because if I were I to read it, it would not be a podfic for me. It would not be a podfic fic for me because I only conceive about doing podfics in a particular way. If it had too many breaks in that, I would just be like, no, I can't. It's not something that I want to deal with. Whereas clearly Chestnut Philly circumvented that and made it very, very cohesive to somebody who hasn't read the text the second time through.
Right.
caveats everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, again, for me to divorce the podfic from the story because I found the story a bit so confusing. But I really enjoy the fact that she was femme/characters and that she was speaking in French sometimes.
Awesome. Oh, that was something I wanted to mention. Use of non-English dialogue.
Awesome.
Salute, Ma says. And her voice is like the low crackle of a Victrola as it warms up. Bonsoir. Comment ça va? Ariane replies.
So brave.
That was
every time
great.
I see non-English dialogue, I just panic. I'm like, no, I can't do this one anymore. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Quick, find me somebody who speaks.
Help.
Fill in the blank.
Help. So much help. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm looking up in the social network fic, Eduardo, because I love Eduardo to bits, and therefore I will do all the fics that has him as a main character. But it's either Fanon or actual movie canon that he calls his mom and dad, Mai and Pai, and I'm like, I don't know how the fuck to read that. So I'm looking at, I'm going on Forbo, and I'm like, okay, it seems as though you're saying Pai, and I'm like, fuck, this is really terrible. It's really putting me off actually doing a couple of podfics simply because there is two instances of him saying his mum and his dad. And I'm like, no, I can't
you can do
this.
Do it.
I can't do this. I have to work myself up.
Where is he from again? I've already forgotten.
He's from Brazil.
Is it Brazil?
Yeah,
okay.
He's from Brazil.
Someone on the internet must speak Portuguese.
Yeah, if you're Portuguese and you know how to say mum and dad, I'm not even going to, it's terrible, so I'm not even going to, try to attempt it. But if you know it, if you could, record it and send it to me and perhaps give me some tips for how I could say that, I would very much appreciate that. I would love all over you because that would be really helpful to me. Please so helpful. Please help. Okay. This was actually really, I really, enjoyed it a lot because it was very accessible. There was no translation, but it was very accessible as what those words were. Salute was hello and comment ça va. I only know that because there's an Utada Hikaru song about how she is a bear and she's got French in it.
Oh, that's funny. So you've learned French through Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Anyway, podfic. I don't know that I have anything else to actually say about this one. It was lovely, and it was short, and they can just have lovely femslashy times forever. Yeah,
it can be lovely. It was very fem, like, but it was like hate femslash as well. Hate sex femslash.
Well, that's Mal. I mean, at least that version of Mal.
The version of Mal that is the shade, and therefore it was like, so is Mal actually real, or is it a projection that Ariadne's dreamed up? But then it was like, it seemed as though it was the real Mal, and then I was really confused.
I guess I was willing to let a lot of that go because I was just enjoying the reading.
It was hard for me. It was hard if it's not a straightforward narration, sort of. Yeah.
I guess I don't always feel the need to understand something 110% when I'm listening to it in podfic format, because chances are I'm probably going to listen to it again sometime. Because it's podfic. I've got it easily at my fingertips, and I sort of pick up layers as I go along, and that's kind of nice for me.
The beauty of it. The beauty of it is that you can do that.
At the same time, even if I was sitting at the computer reading it on my screen, I would probably skim through somewhat fast.
So much.
You can't pick up every possible thing all the time.
The beauty of doing the podfic is that you actually do that. You actually do pick up. Well, if not pick up all, you pick up most. More than other people who skim through.
If you are the reader reading the pod, definitely. Oh my gosh.
Yes. It's the first podfic that I've listened to from Chestnut Philly. So I was like, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, I've never listened to her stuff before either.
Yeah. So yay, Chestnut Philly!
She does seem to be posting fairly frequently. I'm pretty sure I saw podfic posted by her when I went trying to find the audiofic archive post for this one. So there's other stuff out there. I just have the feeling that she and I are probably in different fandom circles, and that's why we've never run across each other before.
So many people. So many people doing Teen Wolf that you will never listen to.
I know. I'm just sitting over here all alone in my corner, like, nobody's recording my fandoms anymore. They're all doing Teen Wolf. This is just like the time they abandoned me for fandom.
Oh, Char. That is so hilarious. I can't even tell you. I'm sorry. Super hilarious.
Do we have anything else to say about Incunabula?
I actually really enjoyed it the second time around when I was listening to it, because I got so much more out from it. And it's so short that you can do that. Whereas I don't know if I would feel the same with a fic. For me, it's like if I listen to it and I don't understand it, I feel really like, why? And then I go and listen to it again. Whereas if I read something and I don't understand it, then I'm like, whatever. And I just move on. So I feel like that's a strength of podfic. Like you said, you can just like listen to it again and it's not a huge deal. So I think it's a very rewarding story the second time around. Okay. Second last is
Inevitable, a Sherlock fan fiction written by Anonymous and read by Jenrin.
Where Sherlock kisses John in a pretty inappropriate time. So the first time I've listened to Jenrin, I found her to be super expressive and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So expressive. And the tone of the fic, like, I would recommend this. It's for like relaxation, or if you're going to sleep, I would listen to it then. It feels like a really, like, a good pick for those times.
Yeah, I have listened to Jenrin read before. She's done some other stuff in Sherlock fandom, and I will listen to anything for Sherlock fandom. Well, just about anything.
Just but, about everything.
Yeah, you're right. She's so expressive, and she paces things really well, too.
Oh my God.
It picks up and slows down for emphasis.
Yes.
It's just really interesting
to
listen to. Important words are punctuated and emphasized. It's just so good for me.
It is really, really good. Like, sometimes I feel like I fall into a trap of kind of using the same sort of techniques to break down text. And I feel like Jenrin doesn't do that. Like, Jenrin's got such a good handle on, like, what she wants to do with it and how it can be read. And it's just like, oh my God, I want to steal all of her. I want to steal everything. I want to steal all the line reading. It's amazing. I really hate having to perform repetition, either the same words or the same string of words, and that happens quite a bit. There's a whole sequence that she does.
Oh, do you mean like the boring, boring, boring?
As Sherlock has taught him, because normal is boring, boring, boring.
That one works so well for me, I'm sorry.
For me, that was the weakest.
It was just like all exclamation points and boring, 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 amazing. I need to stop using the word amazing. I'm sorry, everyone. I will stop using the word amazing. There are more descriptive words I can use.
Awesome sauce. Kick awesome. Wait, awesome. I'm sure I picked that up from American Idol. I shouldn't have done that.
You totally
Oh my God. Astolat.
But anyway, continue. I'm sorry to just jump into the middle of your thought. Repetition.
Well, this is clearly a different folks for different strokes, because I found that to be, of all the repetition that she did, that was, for me, the one that worked the least.
Sad face.
Oh, no, don't sad face. But I find it to be incredible, because there are listeners that we love and listeners that we... Not listeners. Podfigures that you and me both enjoy, and then podfigures that I enjoy and podfigures that you enjoy. And there's no intersection, like Venn diagram, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
And even the ones that we do agree on, you know, there are different
we
things.
We like different things.
Enjoy about it that I do.
The way that Jenren does her repetitions.
Especially here. Especially now. Especially with this audience. The texture of the thick coat underneath his fingers, where he's grasping it and pulling, desperate to be closer. But breathing, as Sherlock has told him, is boring. And this is fascinating.
Those bits are really, I find them to be incredibly hard to read and not sound like an idiot. Or not feel like I'm sounding like an idiot. And I really like the way that Jenren's done it. She's just, like, it has a lot to do with the emphasis and stuff that she's managed to place on it. The kind of cadence that she's bringing to it. It's a lot of things that I wouldn't have really thought about doing it or experiencing it. And I can tell that she's to put a lot of thought into either she's just preternaturally gifted, or she's really put a lot of thought into how much she likes it and what kind of tone she wants to create with it. And it really shows through how well you can kind of transform something that on the page seems very simple into this other experience that you wouldn't necessarily think of yourself.
Yeah.
It's like right from the get-go, like the first thing that I clipped was the first line.
There should have been a before, and there should have been an after.
Which I thought was really, really indicative of how good of a reader I thought that she was, because she caught me from the first line, especially because she was a new reader, like, that I'd never listened to. So she caught me from the first line, and that was just brilliant because of the way that she delivered the second half of that sentence. And it was a bit, like, it was a lot of, like, grumbling, complaining sort of sense to it that was like, oh my God, I can't believe you just pulled that out, like, from the first line. It was amazing. Just made me want to keep listening to it. And she did a really clear transition from a broken off thought into another scene.
John's partly sure that Sherlock must have been planning this all along, because that is what he does. He has plans, and he sees things coming, and he manipulates people into everything, and Sherlock's hand is at the small of his back, thumb edged under the hem of his shirt, leather glove.
I find those transitions to be very tricky as well. Like, I'm never very, very pleased with how they come out for me, but I feel like she's got a really good handle on how to do those kinds of transitions.
Yeah, you sort of have to do those all in the same breath. You have to, you know, lead into it. At least that's my experience with it. And I can't remember the exact delivery, and we'll probably have a clip or something. But yeah, I assume she read it to the effect of he manipulates people into everything, and Sherlock's hand is at the small of his back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm exaggerating there for emphasis, but
yeah.
Don't just gasp into your microphone. Do if you want. I'm not your boss.
No, I like those kinds of things, because that's clearly a oral punctuation mark. That stuff is going to change. And I find that to be really, really... Like, I do that a lot these days when I'm doing the dialogue for whatever character, is that I'll start off doing, like, all stuff like that. So that you know that it's speaking is probably going to follow, because it's not something that I would do in the narrative. I hope. God, yeah. I hope. Yeah, but I'm leaning towards more of those performative aspects rather than, like, beforehand when I was kind of just concentrating on, like, trying to get the words across. And I realized, like, you just couldn't do that. For me, like, it wasn't natural to launch into those kinds of things. It wasn't very clear. So you needed those kinds of paralinguistic markers, like you needed all those sighs or some sort of sound to mark that.
And finally we have,
okay, you ready for this?
Ready, let's do it.
Hey girl.
When Fics take on a life of their own, by Stories for Travelers, read by Kath
and KLB.
Oh my God, I can't say that. That is, these are untoward.
Where Michael Fassbender's women bashing is dissected by a writer and feminist Ryan Gosling. And it is very, very interesting. I thought this was the most interesting that I had ever heard. Like, it was during Ample Recathon, and I think I was talking to podcast. She was leading on. She said, like, I did a podfic with KLB about
feminist Ryan Gosling, and I'm like, you have me hooked. I want a link, and I want it now. I don't care what it's about. Please give it to me. And she leaned to me, and I listened to it, and I thought this was the most brilliant thing that I'd ever heard. It was so cool.
Yeah, I'd heard of this fic before, but I'd never actually sat down to read it. Right. It was, I think, from Yuletide 2010 or 2011. I can't remember. But anyway, it was wrecked everywhere. Everywhere. Oh. It was still on my list to read, but like with most of Yuletide, I read about 50 fics, and then I'm like, I'll get to the rest, and then 50? I never do. I'm very motivated.
Oh my gosh.
For starts. They're short, okay? They're short. So, wow, for the most part.
50. Yeah, well, my experience with the Yuletide fic was like the Billy Elliot, and that was quite long. That was like 8,000 words.
Oh.
So.
That's not that long.
Oh my god! Like, that's mid-size.
10 minutes of reading, come on.
That's mid-size. I mean, okay, I know we're used to like Sherlock where everything is like 30k and upwards, but.
I was a Harry Potter fan before I was ever
even worse.
And so I have all kinds of larger standards for what's long and what's short. Unless it's 30 to 50 parts, 100,000 words plus, it's not long.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus bloody fucking Christ. It only occurs to me right now, like, it only occurred to me quite recently that most fic I read is longer than most novels. Like that I pick up, and that just makes me even more like disinclined to read shit. Like, glad it's not fan fiction, because I'm like, I can get a better experience reading fan fiction than I can from a bloody novel, and it shouldn't happen like that. And I'm like, nah.
But anyway, tangent. Yeah, so Yuletide is when this fic first came out, and
right.
I really meant to read it, and then I didn't. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't at this point, because I got to experience it for the first time through this podfic, knowing it was like this meta thing and feminist Ryan Gosling was there, but I didn't know that the content involved. Mm. So 5 seconds in, and I decided I was totally in love with this podfic.
Yeah,
like I have notes that are all exclamation points and underlines and hearts and like the overlapping, and the use of the clip from the person who I assume is actual Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Reading something that someone has put in front of him that they probably shouldn't have. The music and the fucking bird noises. I love the fucking bird noises, okay?
In my notes, I've got that as Zen music. Or like whale
Zen music. That's such a good description for it. Yeah.
It's so Zen. I enjoyed that a lot. And I thought it was like, it was so clean as well, the way that they introduced it, because they seamlessly, the person who was editing it, they layered the Ryan Gosling, the Zen music, and then they put the header information in it as well. But not only does it make it fun, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's like a quote from actual Ryan Gosling, you get the header information, and then it introduces the element of the bird music, which reoccurs throughout the project. And I thought that was like, so much thinking and so much like editing, and it was like awesome. It was really seamless. Mm-hmm. I was like really impressed. I was so good.
It was such a strong effect, because I have this vision in my head of every time feminist Ryan Gosling starts talking, because of this music Zen background business, it's like he appears in this like the heavens part, and there is Ryan Gosling, and there's birds flying everywhere chirping, and rainbows and sunshine, and probably puppies leaping by, you know.
For me, it was like I heard the music and I was like, he's doing yoga. He's doing yoga and answering his email at the same time.
Oh my god, it works so well.
And for either of us, this is a valid life choice. This is a valid interpretation of events, Joe.
Yes.
I accept your angels from the heaven. You should accept my yoga pose. You should accept my downward dog.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought this was like two better podficers to collaborate on this podfic could not be found. Because I've had the pleasure of meeting KLB in person and learning a bit about how she works. I thought this is brilliant because podcast is huge meta. KLB is also hugely into meta. Two of them together doing a meta collaboration podfic is like the best marriage. So I was really, really pleased about everything. Like even from the get-go, I was like, this is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that they were really in a good position. They positioned themselves really well. Because I think I didn't know that it was from Yuletide, but I knew like when I was reading this, like I would not have been able to appreciate it the way that I do through a podfic had I just read it myself. Like, I probably would have gone bored halfway through and just gone off and done something else. True facts. I'm sorry, Stories for Travelers. I'm sorry. Because there was podfic.
I get where you're coming from on that. It's probably, even though I'm super into critical theory and all that
some awesome of it's stuff very and meta and everything. Packed.
Yeah, if you get to a point where it is quite dense, and yeah. I probably would have just skimmed until I got back to Femmes Rheingau's if I was reading it in the text version. But the podfic makes me have to listen to it yes. all, and that's a great thing, actually.
Yes.
Because I pick up a lot yeah. more.
But also because it's from Podcath and Kelby, who actually kind of know what it is mm-hmm. that this critical theory is referencing itself to, it feels more explanatory than it would have had I just tried to pass it myself. So that's like the lens, like seeing it through the lens of somebody else who knows better than I do. And that was really hugely instructive. Like, so it was like fun, but also informative. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah. Mm. It's interesting because it's already a super meta fic, but the fact that Kilby and Kath are both super into meta also adds another layer, and then you add the sound effects and everything onto it, and it's another layer, and it's like Inception, where I don't know what's going on, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it was just full of good times, and then it was like Feminist Hulk, and I'm like, oh, this is great.
What did Feminist Hulk say about your fangirly Sue idea? FRG.
She wanted to smash it.
Naturally.
Yes.
Yes! Yes!
Oh my god. You know what delivery I absolutely adored in it? The delivery of Ryan Gosling's when the writer proposes the new fic idea to him.
Hey girl, what does that have to do with misogyny within / against fandom?
It's just so wonderfully hesitant and just like, about that.
I really enjoyed, like, also really enjoyed the part where right after she's like, constructivist limonization, blah, blah, blah.
It's like Chela Sandoval says, many people have read having multiple anti-oppression subject positions as disloyalty, but these liminal consciousnesses can actually help your social movements thrive under the layers of globalization and postmodernism we live in today.
Wow. Yeah, props, Kelby.
Props, Kelby. Props. I didn't understand a word of that. A word. And then the writer comes back with this huge sprawling kind of idea, and Ryan Gosling goes, what?
Hey, girl. The who and the what now?
No, like, how can you be lost feminist, Ryan Gosling? You pulled limonization from a European deep thinker out of your hat. You can't be stumped by this.
It's also so earnestly delivered also. Oh, it's like yeah. so straight-faced, and I love that about it. It's
yeah.
it's clearly funny, but it's the type of fic that when you are as a reader doing it, you shouldn't sound like you're laughing with it. You should sound very straight-laced and like, this is serious business, you guys. Feminist Ryan Gosling. And that just makes it all the funnier.
Yeah, everything about it screams crack, right? And except yeah. that I feel like Podcath and KLB have actually pulled it back and made it more serious. Like, all of those times when they were like LOL and winky face and smiley face and all those sorts of things, conveying lightheartedness and conveying joking. But they've pulled that back and really kept it more serious than it was. Not to say that there's no conversational tone in it. I mean, it's just such a good podfic simply because it's kind of been written in an epistolary form. And so it really lends itself to two people having a conversation with each other, which is what it comes off as mm-hmm. as so well. But that extra element on top of that is because they have to put on the emoticons that kind of give you the impression of, like, you know, what comes before. So it's like, I just want them to have, like, you know, I just want to write porn, filthy porn, hot porn, and I don't want to worry about, like, feminist theory. That was the line that I actually really, really liked. I thought, like, this is the best summary of the fic ever.
Hey, feminist Ryan Gosling. That's just it. I don't want to write about this stuff. I want to write porn. Simple, dirty, smutty, panting, porny, porny porn. Since when does porn have all these complicated gender politics?
But the entire fic is about them worrying about it. And I thought that was like, brilliant.
Yeah.
I could feel the crackiness of it. I feel, though, that KLB and Kath actually brought seriousness to it rather than the other way around. That you have.
The way I found it, it's slightly different from your interpretation. It's not that I feel like they brought seriousness to it. It's just that it's delivered in a serious manner.
Yeah.
Like, we're having this discussion.
They
right
brought
now
a heaviness to
feminist
it.
Feminist Ryan Gosling.
They grounded it.
Right, exactly. And it's from that very straight man
yes.
Point of view.
Mm.
And that makes it funnier.
And it's so, but it's like what you were saying. I mean, like the writer's so earnest. She's so earnest. Mm-hmm. Podcap mm-hmm. is so earnest in all of her ideas. And then second guessing yourself, like, oh, I don't know. And all these kinds of things. Very indicative of like email language. And I was just like, oh, it's really, it's like, you know, it's brilliantly crafted as a piece of writing. But then when it's brought to life by Podcap and KLB, they bring all those elements to it. Yet they've separated, for me, they've separated some things and brought other things to the foreground that were I to read it, I would not have picked those up.
I did have a note about the fic itself, a line from it.
Who is going to read a smut fic that criticizes people for wanting smut about this person? Like, I'm writing this to explore my own reasons and desires and conflicted feelings, but I don't know if it will come off that way. Maybe this is just the worst fic idea ever.
That is so meta. That is so yes! about this fic.
Yes!
In this fic. Except without the smut, so.
Kind of disappointed there that there wasn't any smut in this, but I'm not
gonna. Yeah, I mean, I totally was expecting, like, I'm really disappointed that I didn't come out of it with some smut about FRG and Feminist Hulk. I mean, I'm really, that was an opportunity missed. That is a missed opportunity. There's a gap in the market and someone needs to fill it pronto.
I think I ship Feminist Ryan Gosling and the author, not the author, you know, the writer of
KB,
the author
KB?
In the fic.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name right now. KB, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Yep, I ship that. Mm-hmm.
Ship it hard.
I do. I ship it like hard. FedEx.
That's right. Their pillow talk will be about the drive steampunk AU.
So hot. So good for me.
Can you even imagine the cars in that steampunk AU? Can you imagine? So hot. They'd be like carriages and shit. And it'd just be like so much steam rolling from it, man. Ugh.
I wrote down, it's so easy to get lost in this one, just to forget it's being read to me by people.
Mm.
And who are people who are not this fangirl and feminist Ryan Gosling.
Mm-mm-mm. I really enjoyed all the parts where she was really going through the mentality of fandom, because she was like, I want to parody the idea of a fangirl.
Anyway, I was thinking about all of this and thought, hey, maybe I can write a fic where, like, there's a stereotypical fan that interacts with James and Michael. And, like, she's the sexist stereotype of what fans are. And the fic shows how wrong these stereotypes are. But then, how does that address real issues of male centrism in fandom? And what if it just comes off like I'm really saying fans are like the stereotypes? And these stereotypes are, of course, so sexist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part, like the really cool part is like, well, you know, I'm making up this person, but in turn, Hollywood is making up a person who thinks I want these movies.
Honestly, the more I think about it, the more I feel like I'm a character in a bad RPF. Like, there are people in Hollywood who think female fan, and they make up a story about what kinds of movies I like, what kind of romance appeals to me, and what stars I will pay to see. And they say that I won't want to see a woman-driven, non-romantic movie, and that I want the male hero and villain to be so much more interesting and badass than minor characters. And oh yeah, female characters are usually minor characters. Or they make up a story about what comic book geeks like, and they assume that this is a story about teenage boys who don't like strong women unless they're dominatrices. And I'm a comic book geek. So their RPF about me is totally unrealistic. It's a fake story that is not really about me and just imagines me in a way that pleases them.
All these really cool points that get brought up that we know to be true, but articulated in such a way that is really powerful and very straightforward and easy to grasp. Again, for me, it was hard to divorce the content of the fic with the podfigures because they did such a good job that it feels like it's an extension of the story itself and not something that you can clearly hear people are reading it to you, like you said. And it has a lot of, like, obviously has a lot of resonance with us as, like, consumers of this thing. And provides a lot of insight to perhaps authors, at least, that I wouldn't have thought of before, and brings up a lot of, like, feelings about why it is that women don't, like, in fandom, a lot of women don't want to write about women characters because of this kind of slapping, you know, that we would get because we would not portray women correctly. that's a huge touchy area for us, yeah, rather than just talk like writing about two hot dudes getting it on with temperature play.
Mm-hmm.
It was enormous. It was enormous. It resonated enormously with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, where's this fic been for the last year and a half? Because I've needed it. And I didn't know I needed it, but I did.
Maybe it's because you are not like into X-Men First Class and
well, no, I have all these feelings about Fassbender. I really do, because I knew about the dodgy. I found out about it early enough that it put me off of him permanently. Okay. I don't know. Again, same feelings. Exact. It's all in this fic. I'm like, I don't know if it's true. I don't want to really lend credibility to it if it is. But at the same time, if it is true, that's really gross, and I don't want to get into this guy if he's gonna be like that. And not like I know him personally or anything. But no, these are all my feelings, and they are here.
Yes,
and I had no idea.
It's something that didn't really make its way over to me. Like, I don't know if you guys have like 24/7 TMZ on your TV or something. But
no, another fangirl informed me of this very early on. Like, I went to see X-Men First Class, and I was like, that was really good. And then she's like, by the way.
Oh, that's all right, less then. Good. That's less, in a way, I feel like I really dislike actor culture that we have these days, that it is easy to find out these things, and it really hampers your enjoyment of, like, this fictional character, because actors are not real people to me.
Yeah.
They're doing a job where they're creating a fantasy life for me, and I don't need to know anything about their personal life. Like, all this, like, back in, like, the 1950s or whatever, when, you know, they didn't have internet, it was easier for actors to keep their lives private or whatever, and they would, like, you know, do drugs and have sex and have illegitimate children and beat their wives and shit like that, and you'd never know about it because it was just easier to cover your tracks back then. Whereas today, there's a lot more scrutiny. And you do get that male social privilege much more in your face than you would, like, you know, like recently, like the Kristen Stewart stuff.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
But that's the thing, like, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that we have so much access to information like this.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really impact on their jobs as performers and as actors that they are horrible people?
I mean, it also spirals out into the losing our fourth wall.
Yeah.
Third wall? Fourth wall?
No,
wall? Oh my gosh, it's so late. A number of walls. But anyway, Twitter is my point. That barrier is not there anymore. And if I say something nasty about some celebrity on Twitter, chances are they might see it, which is kind of weird and frightening all at the same time. Not that I say nasty things about people on Twitter, I don't. But
who's got the time to do that? Who's got the time?
True, true. More joy, you know, be positive, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the hippie portion of the podcast, I guess. Where was my point? Anyway, yes, celebrity. And like with Fassbender, I can at least divorce him from the character.
Yeah.
But I feel like the characters, I like a little bit less than I would have if I hadn't known that business. Like, I can't get quite as into it because it's still his face that's right there, and I know it's his face.
Right.
But I can read X-Men First Class fic and just separate that. But I have to make that mental separation.
That's
I can't do the RPS and the RPF, and that's what this whole fic is exploring, which I think is so interesting.
Which is so beautiful.
I've been waiting
explored.
For this fic for a long time.
Yeah.
I wish somebody had just told me it's about how you cannot deal with Michael Fassbender, Joe. You should just read it, and I would have. I would have ages ago. But then I wouldn't have gotten to experience this glorious podfic the first time.
Yes, and it was so glorious. It is pretty much the best. It is so good. It is just a thing that is written to be podficed, and you got like the two best possible people to podfic it. It was just that good. It was amazing. Feeling all the love for it. So, podcast, KLB.
Yay.
We loved it. We loved it so much. Thank you for bringing it to our attention by podficking it. It is amazing. We love
it. So, if you want to have some deep thoughts
about your fandom existence, so many deep thoughts.
Possibly some conflicts, but enjoy it while it's being delivered to you.
So much.
Listen to this podfic.
Yes. Yes. It will give you all the feelings, and you will think so much, but you won't feel like you're thinking. Because it's so laid out for you, and it's so well, it's so clever. It's super clever. You will like it. You will enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just going to say bye now, because Joe is tired, and I have stuff to do.
It is late.
I have more pizza to eat.
And pizza is very important.
It's super important. I'm sorry.
Anyway, we should wrap this up, because I do really need to sleep before this gets incredibly loopy.
Yes. Good night, everybody. and
good night, good day. Morning, good evening, good day, wherever you are. Yes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's all right. I'll edit out everything that I talked about. It'll just be you.
No. It's like Garfield without Garfield. It's just me talking to myself. Don't you dare do that. Don't do that. That is not an invitation to do that. I can feel you thinking about that right now. Don't do it.
I am so thinking about it. I think it would be
Well, turnabout is fair play. I will just say that much. Tell me when you're recording.
Oh, I've been recording.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Hello, internet.